This case involves the interpretation of the Illinois law on strict liability. We suggested that this be referred to the Illinois Supreme Court for their determination. I would like to go into the argument of the facts of the case here. What we have here, and the facts are pretty simple. I know we shouldn't be talking about the facts, but that's what the case is all about, is the facts. Mr. Show traveling on Washington Boulevard, normal rate of speed, 25 to 30. Car comes out of going southbound on Elizabeth Street and hits his rear left side. The SUV rolls over three times.
This is a one-way street?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's the facts that we have to go with.
Pardon? Your Honor.
Those are the facts that we have to go with. There isn't anything more that's added to the facts. The
Is it undisputed where it hit the van? I mean,
well, it's left rear of probably near the tire well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and but I guess, you know, sitting here trying to picture it, do we need to know what happened after it hit? I mean, from angle of the car and.
But what, it pushed what? It, and then it went to slid to the right a little bit, and then it rolled over three times.
It slipped. It went to the slipped to the right.
To the driver's right.
I see.
The driver of the SUV, the driver of the Dodge Neon, the small car, sustained no injuries. Obvious. You know, we've seen SUVs and how big they are, and we've seen little Dodge Neons how small they are. So, it would seem to me that the picture should be pretty clear of what happened here.
Well, would your position that an expert witness isn't necessary change if the Neon had been going faster, or if the Explorer was going faster?
Yeah, but we don't have that.
I know we don't have it, but would that change your view?
I can see conceivably where that could be something that a jury would look at. I don't think that precludes the consumer expectation test. From.
But still think you wouldn't need an expert.
I don't think I would need an expert.
What evidence in the record describes consumer expectations for rollovers in the event of a collision?
This is a consumer expectation. This is a jury question.
Right.
This is
and what evidence describes what consumer expectations would be for rollovers?
Well, that's the experience of the jurors.
What, rely on the jurors.
Rely on the fact that you see thousands of cars all the time. They're on four wheels, and they stay stable.
So what if the car is hit laterally?
Well, that didn't happen here, and I don't know about that.
So
I haven't really considered that aspect. I consider this aspect a very small 5 mile an hour impact where.
So everything you think can just be decided within the experience of the jurors.
Correct.
And I knowledge.
Yeah, I think Illinois, in the McColjack case, has stated that the consumer expectation test applies, and this is not a test for the trial court to determine. Summary judgment, as they did in this case. This is for the jurors to determine.
But that case you cited really didn't change Illinois law regarding when expert witness testimony is required in a products case, which is the key issue here. So why would its interpretation by the Illinois Supreme Court aid us in evaluating your case? Because that didn't really change the requirements.
I agree with you, Your Honor. I agree, but... counsel seems to have a different understanding of the case than I do. I look at this case and in that case it was a 60 mile an hour rear end impact, and the consumer expectation test was allowed to be presented to the jury.
About the airbag case.
Pardon?
Which case are you talking about?
McColjack. The Supreme Court case, a 2008 case.
Is that the way the seat went back?
Yes, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, no argument can be made that if an SUV rolled over during normal use and injuries are sustained by occupants of the SUV, it is unreasonably dangerous. There's just no question about that. I think there's two questions that arose here. One was the board was able to persuade the trial judge that the car was too complex to be applied to a consumer expectation test.
Did this roll over three times?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have a hard time just seeing how a car rolls over three times with a light tap and he's going 30 miles an hour.
Well, these are the facts of the case. The facts haven't changed. The facts are clear, and we've all presented the case on that basis.
But don't you almost need a reconstruction mm-hmm. expert to say what it would take? You know, and then maybe an engineer or somebody talk about it. Because that was at the height of the rollover Explorer, wasn't it? Wasn't that a big deal with rollover?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Well, so there should have been a lot of evidence about wheelbase and all that kind of stuff right at hand that others had come up with.
Your Honor, the consumer expectation test has some real importance, and I think you raise a very good issue. Who should be responsible for that expense of proving that?
Okay.
Ford, who talks about thousands of engineers, and they haven't given an explanation, should they be the ones that come in and say, here, which they didn't do, here we can explain.
You're the plaintiff. You've got the burden.
No, but I prove my burden, Your Honor, under the consumer expectation test.
Exactly. So there was no reason that, I don't see why they should spend money on an expert. You did. I mean, I can understand why.
No,
I know you're saying, you know, they should have come back with some experts. And then I guess you would say that in rebuttal you would have called experts.
No, I guess I misstated. I was trying to give the philosophy of the consumer expectation test, which the restatement of torts too follows in Illinois, and that is the expense of how do you prove that. We can't go through and prove what thousands of engineers have done at Ford to show that a vehicle should stay stable. We obviously know that they test. I don't know that they necessarily test for this type of accident.
No, they just, the rollover was supposedly unassisted, we'll put it that mm-hmm. way. And by some swerve or something, when they turned, that's when it was supposedly too top heavy or too narrow a wheelbase,
correct.
It would roll.
Correct.
Here we have an impact. We
correct.
Both saying they're going slow, relatively slow.
There's
and
no
yet, and yet some momentum or some force causes this mm-hmm. car to roll over three times.
Correct.
If I'm sitting on a jury, I'm going to say consumer expectation. Yeah, I wouldn't expect that. But then unless somebody was going pretty fast and then they hit, it changed the angle considerably where the car is almost sideways, and then maybe it will roll if it has that kind of momentum. But I'm just guessing.
But that's what we have the six jurors or...
Yeah.
Whatever, let them do and let them figure it out because they can best figure it out.
It's their best guess, basically.
No, I think it's their experience, consumer expectation. They start out with the expectation, and Ford sells based upon the expectation. They have knowledge of it that a car has to stay stable. Nobody buy the car if Ford said, well, you know, if you get hit in the rear end, our tests indicate that you may roll over. All right? Ford hasn't said it. They don't say that when they sell. What does the consumer expect? And the only one that can judge what a consumer expects, not the trial judge, but the jury. That's the way the test goes. I mean, as counsel has pointed out in their arguments, this is an outdated theory, but it's the theory of law that's followed in Illinois. And it's clear and it's obvious and it certainly has advantages. I wanted to point out the other advantage is that there are so many costs related when there is something like a rollover that the medical bills, it's a lot easier for the seller of the or manufacturer of the product to divide those costs amongst all of the millions of cars they sell and pay for those costs, whereas an individual, his life is destroyed.
We understand who's got the deep pocket. That's not there's no doubt about that.
But that's the philosophy behind, Your Honor, the consumer expectation test.
Okay, so the consumer expects the deep pocket to pay.
If a jury finds that way, you know, this idea. But this, the real question, the focus here, is it necessary to have an expert in a consumer expectation test? It seems to be just grossly erroneous argument to say it's the consumer expectation test, but you need an expert to explain what the consumer wanted. It just can't be. There's either not a consumer expectation test in Illinois, or I'm correct, and no expert is needed on behalf of the plaintiff.
No, I mean, there is a consumer expectation test in Illinois that nobody's disputing that it doesn't exist. The question is, was it appropriate really in this case? I mean, is this the kind of situation where you didn't need an expert, where the consumer expectation case should apply? You know, it's not like some of the other cases in Illinois, like this Variety case, where no expert was needed, when there were no secondary causes there, and a jury could conclude that a walking crutch collapsing while the plaintiff was using it was due to a defect. That's pretty simple. That's pretty straightforward. But Judge Mannion was pointing out some of the things that are involved in this kind of thing, the need for accident reconstruction, what the force was, where the impact that it had. I mean, that's not something normally within a juror's common experience.
But the common experience of the consumer when they purchase the vehicle is that the car will stay stable when certain things happen. And we all know, and we've probably all experienced, where there's been a slight impact to a car. The impact that this particular location on the car caused this progression of facts resulting in the rollover of the vehicle. So we cannot step in the shoes of the juror in Illinois and say this is necessary for this expert who's going to give his opinion. There's no reason. He serves no function. He's completely contrary to the concept of consumer expectation. It can't be consumer expectation by an expert. Then we'd put a bunch of experts in that jury box and determine it.
All right. You're in your rebuttal time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Krivovich?
Krivovich, Your Honor.
Krivovich. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. John Krivovich on behalf of Defendant Appellee Ford Motor Company. We believe, obviously, that the district court correctly concluded that the plaintiff could not meet their prima facie case of a defect that existed in this vehicle that was an unreasonably dangerous condition that existed at the time this vehicle left Ford Motor Company and that approximately caused the plaintiff's injuries, and that the district court correctly concluded that the plaintiff needed expert testimony on those various aspects of their prima facie case in order to prevail, and the plaintiffs chose deliberately not to name an expert as to any of those conditions.
Not to get one. He said he didn't have to get one under this claim?
That's right. They were given five opportunities by both, first by Judge Duryagian in one scheduling order, and then four subsequent times by Magistrate Denlow to name experts, and they ultimately named two experts, none of which dealt with the fact.
Well, those experts dealt with medical issues.
Well,
and
one
injury,
expert,
right?
Yes, one expert was a damages expert on wages, and the other expert dealt with the injuries as a result
of
the rollover. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason we believe that the district court properly decided this case has to do, of course, with Illinois product liability law. And the plaintiff is proceeding on what's called the consumer expectation test, and that is defined as the product has to be dangerous beyond the expectations of the ordinary consumer with knowledge common in the community as to the product's characteristics. So involved within that very definition, which I tried to read verbatim from the case law, is the concept of the dangers of the product. And it seems to us eminently clear that under Illinois case law, you need expert testimony to speak as to the dangers of the product. And then the jury, under the consumer expectation test, can use their own expectations as to whether the product is or is not defective and unreasonably dangerous, given the evidence about the alleged dangers or safeness of the product that can only come from expert witnesses. It's important to understand the backdrop of this particular case because we've talked so much about the consumer expectation test on Illinois product liability law, and it is described by the Illinois Supreme Court as one manner of proving a product case, with the risk utility test being the other. But what ultimately is supposed to be accomplished here is proof of four elements that are basic to any product liability case, and those four elements being that the product is has a condition in it, the condition is unreasonably dangerous, the condition existed at the time the product left the manufacturer's control, and then fourth and finally, that unreasonably dangerous condition proximately caused the accident. So that's the law. The consumer expectation test is a means of accomplishing proof of those four elements. And now what are the facts and what are the issues that the plaintiff has raised? And if we look at the plaintiff's complaint in this case, the plaintiff has claimed that the vehicle is inherently unstable, number one, it has a propensity to roll over, number two, that it came with inadequate instructions and warnings, number three, that there was a failure to properly test, number four, that there was a failure to disclose certain tests that had been done, number five, and there's even a specific allegation that the vehicle lacked instructions and warnings relative to the appropriateness of the tires that should have been on that vehicle. So that's the law, those are the claims, and now what is the proof at trial that this jury is going to be hearing? And you heard from counsel, it's all about five or six facts at best. Number one, the Explorer is headed eastbound on Washington Boulevard in the city of Chicago, doing between 25 and 30 miles per hour. Number two, the Sanchez vehicle, the Dodge Neon, is headed southbound on Elizabeth Street into the intersection with Washington, doing no more than 5 miles per hour. Number three, there's a collision between the two vehicles where the front end of the Sanchez Neon strikes the left rear quarter of the Explorer near the rear left rear tire, as counsel indicated. Number four, the Explorer, as a consequence of that collision, rotates 90 degrees, so now the passenger side of the vehicle is leading, it's headed eastbound on Washington. And number five or six, I've lost track.
That fact right there, I think he distinguished that. It wasn't exactly that, because that's what I would picture if something gets hit and goes like this.
Exactly.
Okay, if it's going, the faster it's going, the more it's going to roll, maybe. I don't know, but that would be my guess if I were sitting there in the jury. Whether that should have happened or wouldn't happen to another car or something, hard to say, I guess.
That's right, and that's precisely why we need expert testimony. Because is there a condition in the Explorer that caused that rotation, as apart from sheer physics, one vehicle hitting another? Is there an unreasonably dangerous condition that then commenced the vehicle to roll over three times, as counsel says? And was there some condition in the Explorer that was the proximate cause of this particular accident and injury? And all of those issues would require expert testimony in our judgment. And
was the roof an issue also by the rollover of the ability of the roof not to crush or something like that if it goes upside down?
Well, I believe there is an allegation having to do with whether or not the design of the vehicle is prone to enhance injury. So now what they mean by that, whether they're claiming some roof issue or whether they're claiming that there was an occupant restraint issue, we don't really know given the record on this particular case. And we don't know that because they haven't declared any experts who have gotten any more specific other than the claims of the complaint. But going to the issue, I don't know if I answered your question, but
I did. Because some vehicles talk about that, having reinforced bars in the case of a rollover. And
right.
This is a 1993 or something.
It's a 93 Explorer, correct. It had a roof that met federal motor vehicle safety standards. But be that as it may, the claim in this case is that they can proceed on consumer expectation without an expert. And, of course, we disagree with that vehemently, and we believe that not only did Michalajczyk not change the law on consumer expectation and the need for expert testimony, in fact, there is good Illinois appellate case law in the Baltus versus Weaver case that requires expert testimony in contexts similar to one we have here, and that subsequent to the Michalacha case, which basically articulated consumer expectation, risk utility, and the need to instruct the jury properly on those things. Subsequent to the Michalacha case, we had the Henry versus Panasonic case and the Salerno versus Innovative Surveillance Technology case, both of which cite Michalacha, both of which cite the consumer expectation test that was reiterated in Michalacha, and both of which say you needed expert testimony in the context of those, the facts in those cases. And the only response by plaintiff to these three very important decisions, Baltus, Henry versus Panasonic, and the Salerno case, is that, well, those are very arcane products. They are not consumer products. The jury would not necessarily be familiar with the performance of those products. And we think that that's a distinction without a difference, candidly. If anything, the notion that a consumer product is somehow different, simpler, et cetera, and therefore subject to different treatment in terms of what proof is required at trial, even if the plaintiff proceeds under consumer expectation, we think that there's nothing that in Illinois law that supports that kind of distinction. And in that regard, the plaintiff's proof in this case is simply that my vehicle rolled over after an impact. I had an expectation that it would not do that, and therefore I get to the jury on that case. It's not any different, frankly, than had the vehicle been in a head-on collision and he had been wearing a seatbelt and his airbag deployed and he was injured nonetheless. The plaintiff could proceed on a defect theory in the absence of expert testimony in that situation that he had some expectation that he should not be injured merely because he was wearing his seatbelt and the airbag deployed. Another analogy might be getting on a jet airplane. The plane crashes. He has an expectation that planes should not crash, and he gets to the jury based on that evidence alone, even though without any expert testimony and without any proof that weather may not have been an issue or pilot error was not an issue. In short, there's nothing in Illinois that would support the notion that based on this record, he gets to the jury, and based on the mere facts that there's a collision in an intersection, the vehicle rotates, the vehicle rolls over, that therefore the inference arises that the vehicle is defective with respect to the very specific factual claims that he's made as to that vehicle.
What was the, besides, I think you, the subsequent to Michalacek, you said Salerno?
Yes, Salerno.
What was the other one? What was the other case you mentioned?
Henry versus Panasonic and Salerno versus Innovative Surveillance Technology are both post-Michalacek cases requiring expert testimony to buttress plaintiff's claims in those cases. And they both are quote the consumer expectation test. The plaintiff has likened this case or asked this court to consider California law relative to consumer expectations. And it's quite clear that in the Michalacek case, the Illinois Supreme Court has diverged from California with respect to consumer expectation. Illinois has held that consumer expectation applies regardless of the nature of the product, the complexity of the product, the facts and issues that arise from a particular accident or the plaintiff's claims as to that accident. California, by contrast, while it eschews expert testimony and consumer expectation, it's made itself quite clear that there are certain categories of cases to which consumer expectations simply do not apply. And one of those categories is a case precisely like this, and that's the Steven versus Ford Motor Company case out in California, where it was a rollover case. It was a Firestone tread separation, which Your Honor alluded to earlier, and a subsequent rollover after that tread separation. And in Steven versus Ford held not only that it was inappropriate for consumer expectation, but also that the plaintiff needed expert testimony in that case. So California provides no help to the plaintiff because of the divergence from Illinois law, number one. And number two, under its own regimen, California would require expert testimony in the context of this case. There's no doubt about it. So at the end of the day, the whole argument that Michalacek somehow changed Illinois law with respect to the need for expert testimony in a product liability case of this kind, we believe simply has no support on the record. And the magistrate correctly reasoned that expert testimony was required. Finally, the plaintiff has asked for certification. We think there's simply no basis for that. There's more than adequate guidance under Illinois law as to what the law is. This is simply a case, a garden variety, frankly, product liability case, where the facts need to be applied to the law, and we don't think certification would be proper whatsoever. So thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. 1 minute.
I don't have the ability in 1 minute to discuss the three cases that counsel has cited, but they're all very clearly differential from this. One was a jack. One was another system where the man looked out of the, and that was the Salerno case, where he's working on a very complicated machine, and he was taught not to go inside of the area to work on it. He went inside, and the work could have been done from the outside. But I think what counsel has said here is completely different from what the law of Illinois is. The law in Illinois said a vehicle that is not a complex vehicle that precludes the use of the principle of consumer expectation when we look at the Michalacek case. And also, when we look that it was an impact of 60 miles an hour. Now, if they would be arguing that this impact of 5 miles an hour was the sole proximate cause of the accident, then it's a different story. That's another issue. And that's an issue for a judge to decide after that evidence is in. But they didn't argue that. They conceded, and in the opinion of the magistrate, he said, well, if they didn't have this minor accident, maybe, or if they didn't have a complex thing which a car is. But in both cases, both factual situations are there in the most recent law in Illinois.
Well, did the impact cause the car to turn such that the passenger door is facing downstream, the way it rolled?
I don't know, Your Honor.
You don't agree with that, or?
I don't agree with that. No, I think what we have in the evidence here is the fact that a lady drove out of an intersection, tapped the rear end of the car, and it rolled over 3 times. But there was no other facts in the case. They want to put more facts. They want to put that we were going much faster than 25 miles an hour, or 25 to 30 miles an hour. They want to put in the fact that we hit cars on the other side of the road. Those are things that they want to put into, but they didn't put in on the purpose of the motion for summary judgment. And there isn't proof to that effect. Or they would have supplied it and put it in, but they completely make assertions that has nothing to do with it. They're camouflaging the fact that they did not give to the consumer the expectation that the car would not roll over. And that's all a jury has to look at, and then they have their case, and that's what the utility risk test takes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ambrose.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Counsel, thank you for your arguments. We'll take the case under advisement.